Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Ping Chong and Company will present their nonfiction documentary-style production, Beyond Sacred, Voices of Muslim Identity, on Sunday, October 14th at 7:30 in the UAlbany Performing Arts Center on the main campus of the University at Albany. Written by Chong, Sarah Zatz, and Ryan Canaro, in collaboration with the performers, the work illuminates the daily experiences of five young Muslim Americans who have come of age in a post-9/11 society and are building their lives in a time of continued fear and violence towards Muslims. The cast members are from different cultural and ethnic backgrounds and reflect a wide range of Muslim identities, including those who have converted to Islam, those who were raised Muslim but have since left the faith, those who identify as culturally Muslim, and those who are observant on a daily basis. Here to tell us more, we welcome Maha Syed, who is featured in Beyond Sacred. Good morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Great pleasure. Sarah Zatz is here. She's the co-author and co-director of Beyond Sacred. Thank you.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great pleasure to have you here. And Paul Grondahl, the director of the New York State Writers Institute. You've been here enough. I feel like you're my co-host.
It's good to be here, Joe. There's no better champion of books and culture than Joe Donahue.
Well, thank you. First of all, let me just talk about books for a second. But the Albany Book Festival went extremely well. I talked to many people after coming to it. Doris Kearns Goodwin had just come from it when I interviewed her on Saturday night, and then Khizr Khan, and they were both just singing the praises of how beautiful and wonderful and special the festival was.
We loved it. We had over 5,000 people from age 1 to 91, and I think I shook 5,000 hands, and the authors loved it, the booksellers loved it, and we're going to do it again next year, Joe.
Excellent. Great. So now that's over, and you still have the rest of your season.
Of course.
That's right.
We're ready to go, just like you. It never ends.
So put this event, this Beyond Sacred event, into context of, because this is part of a larger event that you're doing.
Yes. Our university is one of the most diverse public research universities in the country. We're very proud of that. It's a fact of life that Muslims and devotees of Islam are the fastest growing world religion, nearly 2 billion Muslims worldwide, second largest religion in the world. And our campus has a very strong Muslim student association. That's all reason why we want to have this conversation. We're calling it Muslim Women in 21st Century America on October 10th, and then the performance of Beyond Sacred on October 14th. We think it's really important, both for our university community, our students, and the capital region at large.
So, Sarah, you're the co-author and co-director of Beyond Sacred. How did this all come about?
So Beyond Sacred is part of an ongoing series of interview-based theater productions by Ping Chong and Company, where we work with different communities across the country to tell stories of everyday individuals who are living sometimes as outsiders in some way to their communities. That series is called the Undesirable Elements series, and it's been going on since 1992 with over 100 productions in the series. In 2015, we were invited by LaGuardia Performing Arts Center, which is part of LaGuardia Community College in New York City, to create a new show in the series that looked specifically at Muslim American identity. That was part of a season of campus works that they were doing to use arts to explore Muslim identity in the United States, which was supported by the Doris Duke Foundation for Islamic Art. So we were invited to create this piece as part of our ongoing work to tell firsthand stories on stage of people whose voices aren't generally heard in mainstream theater and culture.
So as I mentioned in the introduction, this illuminates the daily experiences of five young Muslim Americans who have come of age in a post-9/11 society. So talk a little bit about that, the selection of those five and the stories they tell.
Sure. So the original invitation was to create a documentary theater piece where based in New York City. So we were looking at New York City-based Muslim Americans to tell their own stories on stage. We put out a general call for participants, and we, I think, received about 20 folks who were interested interested in telling their stories on stage. And we interviewed people and eventually came to this group of five, including Maha. And one thing that really struck us in the interview outreach process was that the majority of people who came to speak with us were young. They were under 30. And it was really telling, I thought, that in New York City in this sort of post 9/11 moment, that the people who felt safe coming forward to tell their stories and to claim ownership over that identity were young adults. And so we decided to focus the stories on the lives of people who had really been children and teenagers around the time that 9/11 happened, and how that impacted their identities and growing up in the United States as Muslim Americans.
So before I go to Maha, just so I understand, so each story that is told is the personal story from that individual?
That's correct. So the individuals are telling their own stories on stage. They are not actors. They are now professional performers because we've been doing the show for 3 years and touring the country with it. But they came in as, you know, everyday folks with little to no theatrical experience, and they're telling their own stories on stage.
So Maha, how does it feel to be a professional performer now?
It feels great, Joe.
You like it?
I do. I really love it. I mean, I think the show's far exceeded all of our expectations and how it's been received, both in New York and all over the country. And it's just like wonderful to be part of this conversation in this moment.
So I could see it going two ways, where you're given the call and of coming up with this and either saying, oh my God, how do I tell that story in that amount of time and do that? Or do you turn around and say, oh Lord, I could tell that story in a heartbeat?
It's overwhelming, for me at least. And, you know, the Ping Chong and Company have been doing this for a really long time and really help us hone in on details that make sense in our stories together. But, where we start during like my grandparents' time, we put our lives into social and political contexts that predate us quite a bit. So it's a lot to cover in an hour and 15 minutes.
What do you get, do you think? Your story then is surrounded by four other stories. So for the participant, for the audience, what do you think they get out of the melange of stories that are coming from that stage?
I think the beauty of it is that some parts of our story will resonate with some parts of our audience. And so, as good art should be, it resonates differently with every single person who observes it or comes away from, takes away from the play what they most identify with. But I really hope that people can take away that the Muslim experience in America, it does not look one way. It does not feel one way. And we are all really complex, very diverse people.
So without giving too much away, what do you think makes your story unique?
Oh, I don't know why I'm in this play. my story is, you know, in my eyes, so ordinary, but my colleagues are incredible. I've traveled a lot growing up. I have a pretty strong drive to work in social justice, and that's relatively uncommon, definitely in my family, but even in sort of people of the same background as me. And I think having that drive at a very young age probably is unique to not that many people. And I'm really proud. I'm really proud to be able to share it in this form.
And I'll ask the same question to you of what you think the audience takes away of hearing these five stories in total.
I think that, like Maha said, you know, these are human stories, and whether or not you come from the same cultural or religious background, you're hearing stories of the challenges of growing up, of struggles with parents, of questions of learning who you are, who you want to be in the world. And I feel like the audience relates to those stories first. And then whether or not they have experience, whether they're Muslim themselves or whether they're coming from a place where they maybe think they've never met someone who's Muslim, they're seeing the human story first. And then from that, hopefully people are rippling out to saying, oh, okay, this Muslim experience that I'm hearing about on the news maybe isn't the everyday person that's sitting next to me on the train tonight. And I think that hearing people tell their own stories in their own words, regardless of what your politics may be, is what people connect to, is just hearing that firsthand experience and knowing that that person could be your neighbor or someone that you're interacting with at the store.
Roughly how many stories do you have in total for the company?
So this project, we've done over 100 shows, and you know, we've interviewed thousands of people.
Right.
Each show, usually there's 5 to 7 people in the show, and so depending on the theme of the show, we've done projects around living with a disability, of being a survivor of sexual violence, of the refugee or immigrant experience in the United States. So I would say thousands of stories in this kind of body of work over a generation.
And that generation is important because we talk about post 9/11, and that is a generation. I mean, you look at, I was thinking about this the other day, that I forget what context this was in, but just that the kids who are about to vote and the kids who are about to go to the polls in 2020 have, let's say this is their first time voting, they've never lived in a country that hasn't been at war.
That's correct.
As a result of what happened on 9/11, however that came about, as we still debate, rightfully so. So, I mean, that has a, but when we talk about the impact on the generation, I mean, that's a huge impact.
Yes, and I think also that the young people today no longer, 9/11 is also history to them, that they weren't around for it, they don't remember it. So for this group of people in the show, it was a pivotal turning point. We did a show recently in New York City with 18 to 22-year-olds, and so they had all been born at or around the year 2000. And so, you know, this generation of 18-year-olds is, you know, they're coming of age, they're becoming adults as this century becomes adult, as it were. So I think that looking at their experiences and becoming politically engaged and politically active is something that our group and Beyond Sacred do talk about as their sort of political awakenings and their sense of self in the world. Being children or teenagers when 9/11 happened, where they weren't fully formed yet as adults, versus their parents or grandparents who had kind of come into their own being and had the world change around them.
I mean, as you said, Maha, I mean, you are certainly more socially, politically active than almost anyone else in your family, but I would assume that's the reason why of what you were living through at the time.
Yeah, it certainly helped. I had moved from the Middle East about a year before 9/11 happened. So I think for me, the difference in how I was treated was really salient. The difference of how Muslims were portrayed in the media was really apparent, because I was already getting used to living in the U.S. as a minority. And so for me, it certainly unsettled something that, you know, people were being painted with such broad strokes, and, you know, Muslims, this religion that I had loved for all of my life, was being portrayed in this way. And less than 1%, according to some estimates, of the country is Muslim. So the vast majority of Americans don't know Muslims. So this is a really great platform to be able to actually speak to people and give unique personalized experiences.
And if I could add to that, one thing I think about the sort of idea of political engagement for the folks in the show and for the young people is that it's not just about being in response to their Muslim identity, but these are also people who are first-generation immigrants, who are people of color, who are growing up in socioeconomically disadvantaged communities. And so their activism and their desire to see change in the world comes from many other sources beyond just their Muslim identity as well.
Well, and let's face it, in now a hostile climate, right?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Paul, so put this into perspective of how this fits into the larger event that you'll be doing.
Yeah, we have two Muslim women who are really dynamic and spectacular coming on October 4th, 4 days before the Beyond Sacred performance. Mona Haidar is a rapper and an activist, best known for her viral video called Wrap My Hijab, which is funny and heartbreaking and moving. It was called one of 2017's top protest songs, and she's called one of the 25 top feminist anthem writers of her generation, so it got a lot of attention. And the other author we're bringing in is Ibtihaj Muhammad. She's the first Muslim-American Olympic athlete to win a medal. She won a silver medal at the last 2016 Olympics in fencing. And she's very interesting. Both of them have very interesting backgrounds. Mona lives in Harlem, is a mother of two, is studying for her master's in theology. Ibtihaj grew up in New Jersey. Her parents were born in America, or the United States, and converted to Islam. She's African-American. Her father's retired Newark cop. And she's written a really interesting and inspiring book, which is called Proud, My Fight for an Unlikely American Dream.
Well, a lot going on, and you can find out more information. We have all the links on our website, so if you just go to wamc.org/roundtable, you can find it there, and or just look up New York State Writers Institute online, and you can see it there as well.
I think I misspoke. October 10th, Joe, for our two authors.
October 10th.
My apologies.
October 10th, and then the show is on the 14th at 7:30 at the UAlbany Performing Arts Center. Ping Chong and Company will present their nonfiction documentary-style production Beyond Sacred, Voices of Muslim Identity. Again, Sunday, October 14th at 7:30 in the UAlbany Performing Arts Center on the main campus at the University at Albany. Links to more information are posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Thank you all for being here, and have a beautiful time performing. And are you up all this time, or are you
up and back?
Okay, yep. So you're coming up doing a little.
Yeah, we've got shows in New Jersey beforehand, and then we're going on to Vermont afterwards.
All right,
so.
I was just thinking, are you just like stuck here in Albany for good? No. Not that you would ever be
the
stuck
cultural
in Albany.
Center of the world, Joe.
Don't
come
want to
on.
Say that. I'm come sorry. On. Get yes. letters. Thank you all very much.
Thank you for having us.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.